You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
From Sarasota, Florida to Cooper City, Florida.
If we want
to be specific tonight.
I run Cooper City.
Jonathan Zaslow filling in for Ian Fitzsimmons. Cooper City is a suburb of Fort Lauderdale, Miami area. For those of you who don't know, Amber and Ian presented by Progressive
Nothing
Insurance.
Nothing happens here without my say-so.
You can find the mayor of Cooper City at Zaslow Show. You can find me as well at Amber W Sports. For all things NBA, we were having some serious NBA conversations. And for all things NBA, we like to turn to a Heat legend, Jonathan Zaslow, since you and I are Heat fans. We're homers and we're completely shameless about it. And that's why we bring in Norris Cole. Norris Cole, two-time NBA champ, kind enough to join us. And Norris, thanks for your time. Who is your MVP right now in the NBA?
It's a great question. My MVP right now in the NBA, I would have to go with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA. It's between him and Ant-Man and Joker. Those are my three MVPs right now. And I give the slight edge to SGA. His consistency, the numbers that he put in, night out, he also has an impact on the defensive end. Their team success as well with his individual success. I would say SGA right now.
Norris, you know, we were talking about last night's game with the Nuggets and Celtics, and specifically Jokic, Tatum, if we're talking about the MVP race. And you played on a Heat team where LeBron won MVP in back-to-back years, your first couple years in the league. So when a potential MVP goes into a big regular season game, like we saw last night with Denver and Boston, is their mindset a little bit different? Do they recognize that, you know what, this is kind of a showcase game for my MVP candidacy?
Most players do. I don't think Joker cares about that, honestly. But yes, most guys definitely understand that, you know, when you match up with someone that your position or someone of your caliber that's spoken in the same light as you, you definitely understand, like, hey, this is one of those nights where I have to step up. And obviously Joker last night, whew. Did he step up?
He did do that. I don't know if he cares about playing basketball generally, but he certainly knows how to do it and how to do it very, very well. Norris Cole, two-time NBA champ, joining us here on Amber and Ian Zaslow, filling in for Ian tonight. So we know that Tatum ends up folding in a clutch moment there. Is it championship or bust, though, for the Boston Celtics this season, Norris?
I believe so. I think the last three or four years, we've expected them to finally break through, and it hasn't happened yet. This year, you know, I feel like all the stars are aligning for them right now, at least in the regular season. So I think it is starting to get that time to be, you know, championship or bust.
Do you believe in either of the top teams in the Western Conference, Norris? You know, Oklahoma City, Minnesota, that's 2-1 respectively, but they're two teams who, you know, don't have guys with any real playoff experience. They're two franchises that between the two of them, you know, if we don't count the Seattle portion of Oklahoma City, have only appeared in the NBA Finals one time, no championships. Do you believe in either one of those teams?
I don't. Until proven otherwise, I believe that if they match up with the right team, they could, you know, they could have an early exit depending on who those early matchups are against. It's not that they can't do it. It's just that it's yet to be seen. And I like to go with, you know, teams who have shown experience over the years. So I would definitely trust Denver the most. And then you have, you know, a healthy Kawhi Leonard is always scary. He's shown the last time he was healthy, he was able to lift his team, you know, to the finals. So, then of course, if, you know, Steph and the Golden State Warriors slide in there, or Bron and them are healthy, we saw what they did last year. So, no, there's a lot of other teams that I would probably trust more than them, but it's not because I don't necessarily trust them. It's just that I just haven't seen it before.
You know, Norris, in Minnesota's case, the Karl Anthony Towns injury is so damaging because it's not like in the Eastern Conference where if Minnesota was number one in the East and then Karl Anthony Towns comes back at the start of the playoffs, and you're playing the eighth seed, which maybe it's Chicago, maybe it's Atlanta, and you can kind of work your way back, you know? But in Minnesota's case, in the West, a potential first-round matchup could be against the Warriors. It could be against LeBron and the Lakers, where if Karl Anthony Towns not ready to go, Minnesota could be one and done in the Western Conference.
You're absolutely right. That's a huge injury, a huge loss for them. Even though Nasir Reed, he can, you know, I think for the rest of the regular season, he could help them out. And I even think in the playoffs, he could, you know, he would be solid, but he's not the same as Karl Anthony Towns, the way he can stretch the floor shooting threes, the way he gives them the mobility with different, you know, lineups. You can go big or you can, you know, take Rudy out and have, you know, Cat at the five. So the things you can do with Cat, I think he's irreplaceable, I believe. If he's not there, I don't think they have any shot of having any longevity in the playoffs.
Certainly a lot for Anthony Edwards to have to shoulder. Norris Cole joining us here on Amber and Ian. Speaking of Ant, we were having a conversation earlier, Norris, about which young player in the NBA would we want to build a franchise around. So I'm going to ask you the same question, but I'll throw out some names here that kept coming up. Would you rather, if you were a GM, build a franchise around SGA, Luka, Ant, or Wemby?
Ooh, that's a great question. That's a great question. I'm going with Ant and Wemby would be my first one.
You're finding a way to take both of them on your team. You want to start your franchise? Yeah, I mean, it feels like cheating.
I gotta take both because Ant reminds me of a young. And I don't want to put too much pressure on the kid, but he reminds me of like a young Mike, like a young Kobe. Like he's built from that class. Like the way he can defend on both ends of the court, he takes on all challenges. When he needs to score a lot, he will score a lot, but he also knows how to play within himself and play within the team. You know, he knows how to make impactful plays, you know, block shots at the right time, hit daggers at the right time. He don't run from no smoke. He wants that matchup against the other team's best player. You know, so, you know, that's who Ant reminds me of. And then his charisma, he's charismatic, the smile, the confidence, the swag that he has. So I love that. And then, of course, you know, Wemby, we never seen nothing like it. The only question I have about Wemby is we've never seen anybody that height, that size play long without getting injured. And so that would be my only concern because Wemby is a – you can't even say he's a one-on-one. We've never seen anything like that before.
Norris, you know, I was mentioning this to Amber during the break, how tonight you got New York playing Orlando. And right now that's the 4 and the 5 seed in the Eastern Conference. And so it's a good matchup. And with the Orlando Magic, I can't recall, Norris, a former number one overall pick who is also having a really good season and is leading his team and having success the way Paolo Banchero is, who gets less attention. I mean, he was the number one overall pick, and the Orlando Magic of all teams are top 4 in the Eastern Conference right now. How come nobody talks about Paolo Banchero?
I don't know why people are not talking about him anymore because he's playing very well and Orlando Magic are playing very well. But the thing is, even though Orlando is a nice city in Florida that we know about because we've lived in Florida before, still not considered a large market team. And so, you know, they don't get to play on TV a lot. You know, the Heat gets TV time. If you have to choose between Orlando and Miami, you know, of course, the Heat are going to get that TV time. And so in the Eastern Conference, you got Boston, you got Milwaukee. Early in the year, you had the Sixers with Joel Embiid. So there's the Knicks, who are the media capital of the, you know, the world. They're playing well. So they just lost behind the shuffle, Giannis and Milwaukee. So, you know, there are other Eastern Conference teams that demand more, you know, TV time because of fandom. But in reality, you know, Paolo, he deserves a lot of attention. And what he's been able to do for Orlando Magic, you know, it definitely needs to be talked about more.
Yeah, the Magic are getting robbed. They deserve that attention. Finally here in Norris, let's head back to the Western Conference for a second. Are the Suns a legit threat in the West?
I believe that they are. You know, anytime you have, you know, Kevin Durant on your team and he's healthy, it definitely has to be Booker and Beal. They have to be healthy to go along with him. But as long as they're healthy, you know, they have a puncher's chance. They're not my favorite, but they definitely have a chance, you know, with Durantula because at the end of the day, in the playoffs, things break down. You have to have somebody to, say, take the ball, save us. And Booker has shown the ability to do it, but we know Kevin Durant has done it at the highest of highest levels. So, yes, I think they have a puncher's chance as long as they're healthy. And they have a championship coach. You know, Frank Vogel has gotten it done before, and his assistant, you know, David Fizdale, he's gotten it done. He was a Heat coach. And I think he also won with the Lakers as well. So they have championship pedigree there, and they definitely have a chance.
Norris, we'll actually let you go with this one here real quick. The Miami Heat are coming, right? I mean, you see how they've been playing the last few weeks. They're coming, right? Right, Norris? They're coming.
Always, always, always. As long as they're healthy when the playoffs start, no one wants to play against them. So I'm always giving, you know, giving them a chance. As long as Jimmy Butler's healthy, Bam Adebayo's healthy, Eric Spoelstra's healthy, you know, I believe that the Heat always have a chance.
That was reasonable for Zaslow to just blow through the clock, say the hell with it, yeah, and ask that Heat question. I like it. Norris Cole, two-time NBA champ. Thanks, Norris.
All right, no problem.
Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, more on the NBA MVP race next here on ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Nick Saban gave us more transparency than ever before as to why he actually decided to hang up his legendary career.
Dude's
there
a yapper now
Alabama.
That he's not coaching anymore.
Well, he's supposed to be. He's joining game day. I mean, we signed him. Do I imagine a monstrous contract? I would imagine we're paying him a lot of money here to yap. So, yeah, get to yapping there, old Nick. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save on commercial auto insurance from Progressive. Get a fast quote at progressivecommercial.com. Zaslow filling in for Ian tonight. So, he was speaking about sort of the changes and the changing landscape in college football and the fact that there are no guardrails there for NIL. The comments
NCAA
he made
waved the white flag last week, didn't they? Like, they gave up.
They basically had, well, they were forced to. I mean, they lost another court battle in Tennessee. Nevertheless, Nick Saban had made the comments to ESPN where he said, I thought we could have had a hell of a team next year. And then maybe 70 or 80% of the players that you talk to, all they want to know is two things. What assurances do I have that I'm going to play because they're thinking about transferring? And how much are you going to pay me? Our program has always been built on how much value we can create for your future and your personal development, academic success in graduating, and developing an NFL career on the field. He went on to say, so I'm saying to myself, maybe this doesn't work anymore, that the goals and aspirations are just different. And now it's all about how much money I can make as a college player. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that's never been what we were all about, and it's not why we had success through the years.
Yeah.
What do you make of those?
Well, I think the start of it was, and we're going back, I don't know, however many years ago it was, a decade plus. The start of this was when student athletes were allowed to transfer without penalty. I mean, it wasn't so long ago that you had to, in order to transfer, you had to, you know, your coach had to allow you to leave, and you then had to sit out. So when the transfer portal became a real thing, even before NIL, that's when this started, the whole how much am I going to play? Are these kids going to work hard and earn their spot? That kind of, you know, opened the can of worms where, all right, if I'm not and by the way, you know, you add in all these games that are on television where you can get noticed anywhere as long as you're playing. So you could be a backup at Alabama or go pick any other school. I don't want to be disrespectful. Go pick any other school. These kids would rather be a starter over there. So that's when it came down to, that's when the conversation became, how much am I going to play? That became more important than going to Alabama. And then when the NIL stuff came, you add to it, how much am I going to play and how much money are you going to give me? And I know the easy thing, Amber, and listen, I don't know if you're aware, Nick Saban doesn't get any love in the Zaslow Mansion, all right? But I'll be fair here. I don't have a problem with anything Nick Saban is saying here. I think it's really easy to do the whole, oh, you're okay with getting paid millions of dollars and being the highest paid guy in the state of Alabama, but you don't want kids to be paid. No, I don't think that's what he's saying at all there. I think what he is clearly saying is it's a different game. It's a different landscape. And at his age, he's not really interested in he's not really interested in adjusting to that new landscape. I don't have a problem with it.
Right. I roll my eyes a little bit at the notion that, you know, that's not how we do things. And we always built ourselves on the future and on academic success and what we could gift you. And I roll my eyes at that a little bit because all of us think there was cash grabs under the table for many, many years in college football, particularly with programs that have that level of success. It feels unreasonable for them, not who have been any cash changing hands at any level before, you know, NIL became legalized because of the courts and because of everything that happened there. Nevertheless, I do think I agree with you, because what you end up hearing when you hear these comments from Saban, what you end up hearing elsewhere is everybody doing that easy low hanging fruit. Well, you made $11 million right, and you don't want the kids to get paid. Or how many times did you walk in and renegotiate your salary with the president of the university, and now you don't want them to renegotiate with you, you know, their playing time or negotiate their NIL deals and when they're students and whatever. That's the low hanging fruit. I don't think it is that. I mean, and maybe that's a frustration. Who knows? But what I think he's just saying is this is what changed. I mean, he was pretty clear of saying, I'm not even saying it's bad that it changed. I'm just saying I don't want to deal with it.
If this was 20 years ago, I don't think he steps away. I think at his age right now, he's not interested.
I don't know. 20 years ago with the success, if he's not respected, I think he goes to the NFL. And that's what we're going to end up seeing. Like, there's kind of two options.
It's actually exactly what happened 20 years ago.
That is actually exactly what happened 20 years ago. And in that scenario, he doesn't lie to all of Miami and say he's not taking the Alabama job and then within 24 hours takes the Alabama job. Because the reality is he wouldn't be going back to college in this hypo that we've created 20 years ago when he did, in fact, make the decision to go to the NFL. You kind of got two choices with the landscape of college football because it's a mess right now. If you are a coach who has the resume to actually choose whatever you want to do, then you're either going to choose to retire if you're of a certain age, or you're going to choose to go to the NFL level. That's it. And right now, this college game feels like it's a young, hungry coaches game, right? Where there's plenty of coaches that are going to sign up to navigate this whole thing, but they're not going to be the same dudes that have been navigating it for the last 40 years. Because the reality is, it's probably not fun to change after doing it at that level of success that long. And we are talking about a coach. In fairness to Saban, and as a Gator fan, I've never enjoyed having to compliment Nick Saban, but we are talking about a dude that for decades and decades and decades found ways to change. And like you said, the transfer portal, I mean, we've been talking about that for years. He did find ways to try to navigate those things. The game has changed. The generations have changed. The way that you connect with athletes has changed, as it always does, as it always will. And he has managed to navigate all of that over the years. And he just got to a point here where he's like, you know what? I'm done navigating this nonsense. I'm too old. I'm going to go make a ton of money to talk about this instead.
I actually think he's going to be really good on television. And I'm not just saying that because, like, if you were to throw Bill Belichick in front of me, I don't think Belichick would be good on television. I don't. But I think Nick Saban is going to be really good on television. And maybe because we got a glimpse of that this year every week on the Pat McAfee show. But I could see, like, Saban, he would come off as charming when he wanted to. Belichick.
Well, it's why he was such a hell of a recruiter.
Yes. Yes.
You can't deny the success there as a recruiter. There must be some reason.
I mean, I remember reading in The Blind Side when Michael Orr was being recruited by all the SEC schools and Nick Saban, and they're an Ole Miss household, the Tuies, and, like, she almost let him go to LSU at the time and Nick Saban because he was so handsome and so charming. And it's like, Nick Saban? Really? But we've seen that in front of a camera, and I don't feel like we've seen that from Belichick in front of the camera. I don't see him as charming. I think Saban's going to be excellent on television, especially if this is just the start of the things that he's going to, you know, the way he's going to peel back the curtain and tell us some things that are happened, or the way he felt about them. I think it's a pretty good start.
I think it's okay. I think it's fair to say two things. Like, I think you can say players should be able to get paid for their name, image, and likenesses, or even maybe pay for a play if you believe in that model. Whatever model you believe in, they should be able to make money, and players should be able to transfer at will. And also, you can say college football right now is a mess and it's not so fun to coach in it, right? I mean, those two things can coexist. People act like if you say the latter, then, you know, you're like, you can't say the former, or that you don't mean the former. That if you have the audacity to say that this thing is a mess, or this thing is hard to navigate, or it's the wild, wild west, or it's not fun for coaches, if you say that,
it doesn't mean you don't want kids getting
paid. That means that you don't think the kids should get paid, right? And they're not mutually exclusive, things. Those things can all exist. The reality is, I think most people at this point feel like they should be able to get paid, right? If they're willing to get paid. Now, there's whole issues with booster collectives and lack of regulation and no regulations for agents and all sorts of stuff. But I don't think most people at this point think players shouldn't be able to make money, or even players shouldn't be able to transfer. But it's also okay to acknowledge.
There's no turning back at this point.
Right. But it's also okay to acknowledge that those changes, not so fun for a coach of the tenure that a Nick Saban.
It's not so fun for the fans either. It's not so fun for the alumni. It's not so fun.
It's not. And that's and you know what? It is what it is. And we're working through these situations right now. And college football is still great. And the reality is we're all still watching it on Saturdays this season. But it's certainly different than it was just a few years ago. Coming up next, we head to the NFL, the biggest NFL offseason questions that are still looming here on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Long. Haven't heard this forever.
Who is this?
Don't ask Jordan Sparks questions. There you go. I'm like, I knew it was a good from American Idol. I was trying to think of her name.
Yeah, I have no idea.
It was a good song. It was jam back in the day.
Sounds great.
All right.
Well, there you go. We had it in the system here at Amber and Ian. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive Insurance. Zaslo filling in for Ian tonight. So there was an article back in mid-February where all the NFL Nation reporters, all the beat reporters for all of our NFL teams, they narrowed down the biggest offseason question for their NFL team to a singular question. Okay, so the biggest offseason concern that needs addressing. And it was interesting because here we are now in, what is it, March? Here we are almost a month later now. And there's still a lot of these questions that are looming. Now, not all of them. Some of them are, you know, like T. Higgins with Cincinnati. Some of them have been answered, right? But there's still a lot of these big off-season questions that are still looming. So James Steele and I thought it would be fun to go through some of the ones that still seem more pressing and have a little fun with it here.
All right.
Everybody buckle up. Get ready.
Let's
settle
go.
In.
All right.
James.
So.
Hello, James.
Hi. How you guys doing? So I'm pretty sure that the Bills released all their players this week. Like
yeah,
all correct. Of them. I don't think they have any left.
No, they're starting from scratch.
Except for Mitchell Trubisky. That'll help them.
Foundation.
What a shame. What
that
a shame.
That is true, though.
Yeah, I know. They
released
all their
defense. I can't tell you how many Bills fans I saw saying, like, we got all of our salary cap for Trubisky.
Yeah, it's not the best look for Bills fans or the Bills. What a shame. I'm truly heartbroken for them. All right, so how much, after releasing all of their players, will the Bills regress this season, if at all, Zaz?
All right, so this is, rather than saying how much they're going to regress or not, the story to me here is, okay, now we're going to find out if Josh Allen's an elite quarterback. Because if you're an elite quarterback, that means you can carry your team. It means when so much of the salary cap is being dedicated to you, can you withstand when the team is inevitably, eventually, going to have to make some cuts around you? And the whole question is the championship window closing on the Bills. Well, that's ridiculous if they still have Josh Allen, if he's an elite quarterback. Like, no one is going to question, is the championship window closing on the Bengals? No, because we all believe Joe Burrow is an elite quarterback. So the window's open as long as he's playing. So I think the question really becomes, or the statement, I guess, we're going to find out about Josh Allen now this year. That's what that means to me, Amber.
I think, frankly, that there's as much ado about nothing. Now, in part, because what Zaslow just said, I don't really agree with. We don't determine you're an elite quarterback because you quite literally play with nobody.
That's
like, you have
how
to
we
have
determine
somebody. You have to have somebody around you. Patrick Mahomes,
Stephon Diggs is still there. He's still there.
Patrick Mahomes, we just saw win another Super Bowl. He did it with an elite defense. Like, even with Mahomes,
hey, Kelsey's decent.
We see him do it with if he doesn't have it, one year he'll have a wide receiver room. The next year he'll have a defense. He's able to sort of survive these things. Does Josh Allen have any of that help around him now with these cuts? What I will say, though, the other reason I think this is much ado about nothing is because we expected this to come. They had to do this before the new cap got released. They were supposed to be like $51.8 million over the cap. Then the new cap comes out, and it's higher than people expected it to be. The Buffalo Bills were still $41.3 million over the cap in a salary cap sport. They were going to have to cut everybody. I mean, this was going to be coming, and then they're going to have to find a way to retool some of the contracts that they have and rework things and rebuild. But do I think they're going to take a major step back? I mean, not a total rebuild. I'm just talking about a tweaking. Do I think they're going to take a major step back? No, because the reality is I still believe in Josh Allen. And also, I think the Bills have been underperforming here the last couple seasons, Zaslow. So what's the step back that we're talking? Do I think the Bills aren't going to make the postseason this season? No, I still think that they're a playoff team. They win in a Super Bowl? Well, they haven't done that. Are they winning a conference championship? Well, they haven't been doing that, right? So what are we talking about here? Yes, I think they'll still be a postseason team. Will they win the division? Hard maybe.
Wait, what was that? They win the division what? Okay.
Hard maybe. The Dolphins, Oslo, are in the same division, baby.
That division's not going to be any easier if you got Aaron Rodgers back in the Jets.
Tell me about Aaron Rodgers again?
How good are the Dolphins going to be?
You know? Oslo and I, same reaction. How please?
Well, what? The Jets were, like 7-10 without a quarterback last year? Just had guys playing back there? I don't think they had one. You can't prove to me that they did. All right, let's move on to the AFC North. Who's going to be QB1 for the Steelers this season, Amber?
I think it's going to be Russell Wilson.
I do
too. Feel like that's the direction that things are trending. They only have about $11 million in cap space. Russell Wilson is really their only option. They're not one of those teams that's looking towards April to be able to get a quarterback that's anywhere near the caliber of quarterback
and they're
that
never
they need
a
anyway
sexy
in the NFL draft. And they're not a sexy free agent destination. I think that this is a really good shot for them to get a guy who they can pay nothing to because his salary is coming from Denver.
Yeah, and he doesn't want to offset the salary. Like, he wants Denver to pay. So it's like, no, you pay me the least that you need to pay me. I want Denver to pay.
Absolutely. Like, you guys work with whatever you can here to get me whatever help. I think it's going to end up being Russell Wilson.
I think
that makes a lot of sense.
I do too. I think it's a good place for him from, as far as stability, coaching staff. Even they were over 500. They were a 9-win team. Like, he's going to
Kenny
a decent...
Pickett.
Yeah, he's going to a decent team. Just give me some decent quarterback play, which 26 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. It's pretty decent quarterback play.
Decent, man. People acting like he has nothing left. It's so overstated.
You would think he's the worst quarterback. You really would.
You absolutely... The way people talk about him, it's unbelievable.
I'm a little offended. I really am.
I've always been, as a Wilson myself, I have always been offended by the way people talk about Russell Wilson.
To protect your Wilsons, for sure.
And I think it's very obvious to us that it was more of a Hackett problem than even just a Russ problem. And yes, obviously Peyton wants to move on from Russell Wilson. That's fine. But his season this past season, he wasn't the biggest problem by any means on the Denver Broncos. He wasn't top 5 on the list of problems for the Denver Broncos this past season. He was okay. And really, that's all you need to be in Pittsburgh. Yes, he's not the same dude he was when he was a Super Bowl MVP. But he doesn't need to be that to be better than Kenny Pickett was.
I could see where Amber's coming from. Who knows how deep the Wilson lineage goes? You know, you don't know if... there could be some relation, you know, generations back. So I get you. I get you being offended over it. I get it.
Like we're related?
Yeah, maybe. You never know.
That's why I defend all Wilsons.
Yeah, you never know. I get it.
Russ literally threw like 4 times more touchdown passes last year than Kenny Pickett. So, I mean,
he could help.
I know.
It's an upgrade.
He could help. Yeah, that production, that would be nice to have 4 times as many touchdowns if you're a Steelers fan.
We're answering the biggest NFL offseason questions here on Amber and Ian. Just a quick note, we have conference tournaments going on right now. Iowa just beat Penn State 95-62 in the Big Ten quarterfinals. Caitlin Clark, 24 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists.
Okay. Happy International Pretty Women's good. Day, Caitlin yep. Clark.
It's Caitlin right. Clark. Got to give an update on Caitlin Clark. All right, back to the NFL. Jerry Jones said the Cowboys will be all in 2024. What does, quote, all in look like for the Cowboys in 2024, Zaz?
All right, so they haven't been, like, have they been taking it easy?
I don't know. They're all in. They're going to be all in 2024.
They've been messing around.
All right, well, I like the dedication. I like the commitment coming from ownership. Finally, ownership in Dallas is behind the team. They're going all in this year in 2024. I don't know what the heck that means. I mean, I got to be honest here. I don't know what that means. They're going all in. They don't get to make up salaries. They don't get to make up their own salary cap. I mean, they still got to play by the same rules as everybody else. I feel like the ownership has been pretty involved the last few years. You know, now they're going all in? Okay. I don't know what it means. I got to be honest.
I think that it means that they are going into a season with a lame duck coach, and maybe Jerry Jones's version of all in is that I'm putting all the pressure in on everybody on this team. So Mike McCarthy's certainly going to be feeling that pressure because it's his job or bust this season for the head coach. So that's all in, so to speak. I would say that they're going to be all in on Dak Prescott in terms of his contract because they have no leverage and Dak holds all the leverage there. So even though there are reports as of 2 days ago that they've had no talks whatsoever about extending Dak Prescott, Dak Prescott has all the power in that relationship. I think they're going to end up being all in on paying Dak Prescott because he has the power in that relationship because of the no franchise tag, the no trade clause, and they have to restructure that cap hit so that they could go ahead and try to put more pieces around him. I also think maybe all in means bringing in a Derrick Henry or one of these big time running backs.
I do think that's a really good
and available.
Fit. I
think D. Henry would be all in for, you know, in a more serious capacity for old Jerry. So I think that could also be what he means.
So just signing Derrick Henry means they'll be all in, basically.
Basically, yeah.
Neat. Mm-hmm. Let's get you guys in some more trouble with the city of Philadelphia. Can the Eagles retool on the fly with Nick Sirianni in 2024, Amber?
I don't understand. And listen, buckle up because I'm about to say something that might make Eagles fans a little bit happy. But I don't really understand why everyone turned so dramatically on Nick Sirianni. All of a sudden, like, can they retool under Nick Sirianni? Like,
they can't.
Sirianni,
it's impossible.
All of a sudden,
they can't do it.
It's impossible. It's impossible for them to improve over last season under Nick Sirianni. Why? Why? That man did just have them in a Super Bowl the season before, right? Am I crazy? Yeah. I mean, I thought the Eagles were overrated. Everybody knows. I thought the Eagles were overrated into last season.
But also, let everybody know you were right about it.
Right. One of the many things in life I ended up being right about. But it wasn't because I said Nick Sirianni was incompetent. I mean, we weren't talking about a coach that just had the team in a Super Bowl the season before. So this idea that Nick Sirianni, like, he's done, you know, like, there's no chance that they can improve under him. I think it's a bizarre narrative.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 not so pleased, but 10, like, super-duper pleased. Your opinion before the season started that the Eagles were overrated and were not going to be the best team in the NFC East, and then they actually looked like the worst team in the NFL in the wild card round, the Eagles. Scale of 1 to 10,
like
how
thing.
Pleased were you?
It was, like, one of the greatest things that's ever happened to me in my life.
Yeah. That'll go look for
she
you.
She made a TikTok.
Like birth
about
of my
it.
Kid, like right below that.
That'll go look for you. I'll admit.
That take.
Look. Yeah.
James, anything else? We good?
Yeah, I think we should probably keep our clock integrity and go to break.
Ooh, clock integrity here on Amber and Ian with Jonathan Zaslow filling in for Ian. Coming up next, what would you give to watch your team win a game on the road in the playoffs? Some people have made the ultimate sacrifice. That's next here on ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Did you give up a body part to watch your team win in the postseason? Because apparently that's what some fans did in Kansas City. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive. Jonathan Zaslow filling in for Ian tonight. You can find him at Zaslow Show. You can find me, Amber Wilson, as well at Amber W Sports. So remember that game. I know you remember it well, Zaslow, unfortunately, but remember.
I remember.
The Dolphins.
That was a great game.
I know you did.
That was an excellent game. Well, thanks.
We begged to differ.
Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Reminding me about it.
So when James's Chiefs were hosting me and Zaslow's Miami Dolphins in the wild card round, and it ended up being the coldest game in NFL history, and
such
apparently
an impossible scenario.
I mean, just I don't even understand why we thought we had a chance in that game. Of course we didn't. I
don't think we thought that we had a chance. I don't think we felt that way.
It was -4.
But what was the wind chill
when the game ended up kicking off? The wind chill was -27.
Yeah, yeah.
-27. In December over Christmas. So there's a restaurant that I go to, that I like to go to in Colorado, that you take a snowcat. You're like in a sleigh, and a snowcat pulls you up a mountain.
Yeah, yeah, all the normals know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, definitely
Shout
not
out
a
to
rich
Pino's
thing.
Cabin in Beaver Creek, Colorado.
Way to relate to all the normals.
My favorite restaurant in the world. So you're this makes me a layman. So you're in this open air sleigh being pulled up a mountain by a snowcat, and it was -5 the night that I was doing this, and it was the coldest experience of my life. And I was sitting there under blankets, not moving, not doing anything that was important.
Now
certainly
do that for
not 4 hours.
In
a football game. Now do that exactly for 4 hours. Yeah. While trying to win a game.
It really is the dumbest thing, because you could do the same thing while being comfortable. It's not like the only way you could see the game is by being that. No, you could actually sit in your home and watch the game.
Yeah, I right. But these fans chose to attend the game for 4 hours in these conditions. And what ended up happening at that game for the people in attendance, not the people on the field moving around, but for the people in attendance, because we were so worried. Remember, the talk leading up to that game was the safety of the players. Maybe we should have been talking a little bit more about the safety of the fans.
Nothing stops the National Football League. That train is a-rolling.
Apparently, according to Kansas City area hospitals, something like 12 people had to undergo amputations after that game.
It's unbelievable.
Because of hypothermia.
It's unbelievable.
Amputations. So these people were sitting out, which, by the way, I mean, I guess I've never been in that situation. I live in Florida. You live in Florida. We've been in very limited situations where we're in negative temperatures probably in our entire lives.
Mm-hmm.
So is there not a point where you feel, like, does hypothermia, like, does it all set in so fast?
Well, I don't know.
You can't think, I need to get the heck out of the situation?
I don't know. I don't know what that's like. I've never been outside at a cold weather game like that. I have no idea. I mean, do you feel your limb go completely numb? Does it hurt? Does it turn black? You know, does it change color? And then you go to the hospital? These people, they had limbs amputated. Now, I don't know if it means that, you know, they're walking around, they got no arm now, or does it mean they lost a couple toes? I don't know. But they lost limbs. They lost appendages going to this game.
So what would you – now, there were the idiots, don't forget, also, that they were showing on TV where there was Dolphins fans without shirts on at this game. There was a couple Chiefs fans without shirts on. I don't know if it was those people or just other people that were just sitting in the crowd. But what would you lose in order to – I would imagine nothing for that game.
Neither
you nor I would lose any body part for that game because that game was a disaster for the Dolphins. But to win, say – I guess it would have to be a Super Bowl. I don't know.
What if it was like the AFC Championship even, or Super Bowl, whatever. Yeah, high stakes.
Really? You're giving up body parts for an AFC Championship?
Well, I didn't say I am. I'm just setting up the scenario. That's all.
All right. For a Super Bowl win for the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
Something you've never seen in your lifetime.
Okay. All right. Now granted,
would you give up a body part?
Granted, the Dolphins are third on my list as far as fandom goes. I care about them a lot, but they're third on my list as fandom. Here's the funny thing. If you asked me this question 20 years ago, if you asked me this when I was younger, I would have wanted to say that I would give up like a toe, maybe my middle toe. You can't give up the big toe or the pinky because I feel like you'll fall over. It'll really screw your balance. So maybe I would give up like my middle toe, but then again, because I really cared. But then again, I probably wouldn't because, you know, I go out with a girl and she sees I'm rocking middle toeless. That's probably not going to fly. And the reason I'm saying it's probably not going to fly, because if the tables were turned, I wouldn't like it if she was rocking middle toeless, all right?
Oh, stop. Well, so you might not like it. But by the time you realize, by the time
I don't know.
She realizes, Zazla.
She's just missing a digit, you know? I don't know. So I feel like I wouldn't do it. I feel like I wouldn't do it. But now it's like, okay, maybe I should do it. I'm happily married. My wife doesn't care if I'm going to miss a toe. But then at the same time, I don't care enough anymore. So I would not give up any part of my body for the Dolphins to win a Super Bowl. I wouldn't do it.
I think your wife would care, but your wife's just committed. Your wife's contractually
obligated.
Oh, she's
in deep, baby.
Yeah, so she's screwed. So she'd have to be there either way. I mean, there's no scenario where I am passionate enough to try to give up any sort of body part. I mean, the tip of a finger, would you give up the tip of a finger? I wouldn't, because I don't...
Ooh, just the tip?
Just a tip. Like, would you, like, a tip, you know? Half a finger.
Not for the Dolphins, I wouldn't, but for a Stanley Cup? Yeah, I might.
Ooh. For a Stanley Cup, really?
Wow, the Panthers are on track for that this year.
Rank your must-have... Yeah. Championships.
Well, the Heat are going to be at the top. The Heat, he's had a bunch, so that's why he's not.
Yeah, the Heat are going to be the Heat are always going to be at the top. Although I do have championship. I do have two championship rings. They're right
up
there.
Championship,
you know,
broadcaster.
Two time. Like, don't shortchange me. I'm a two-time champion broadcaster. But the Stanley Cup is like, it's neck and neck. Like, it really is 1A, 1B, because I never experienced it before. So now, I may not even have to give up, even like a nub, I may not even have to give that up, because it really does look like the Panthers are going to win that Stanley Cup this year. But I would strongly consider giving up a nub, Amber.
A nub is a lot. I mean, that's dedication to your team. Yeah, there's no team I'm passionate
I feel like they'd let me drink out of
appendage.
The Stanley Cup if I gave up a nub, right?
Maybe. Although I feel like giving up a nub in hockey is just a Tuesday. I mean, that's just like not even impressive for sport where they're missing all their teeth and they're
Look what I sacrificed. Look what
states.
I gave up. I'm a hockey player.
You give up a tooth to win the Stanley Cup.
Well, I've done that before without winning a Stanley Cup.
He'd have to give up all of his teeth for hockey players to be impressed. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, we will continue with the conversation that we were having earlier. What is the young star in the NBA that you would build a team around?